In an age of treachery and peril, a young thief may be the prophesied savior or the betrayer of the world. Fortress Draconis by Michael A. Stackpole. A quarter century previous, an elven seer spoke the Norrington prophecy. A Norrington to lead them, immortal, washed in fire, victorious from sea to ice. Power of the North he will shatter, the scourge he will kill. Then Vorquellen will redeem. For 25 years, the world has awaited a hero, and now the world's fate rests in the hands of a nimble-fingered young thief.
Fortress Draconis, Chapter 2. Will didn't like the sound of what Resolute had said and wanted to snap a remark that would hurt him, but he was mindful of two things that stopped him. The first was the way Resolute had kicked Predator. Vorquelf clearly was not in a good mood, and Will did not want to become the focus of his ire. The second was that Resolute obviously would hit harder than Predator. Will had wanted to protest that what Resolute said wasn't true, but the word wasted kept bouncing around inside his head. Will the Nimble, King of the Dimmen Downs. That concept mocked him as he stood there, wet and aching, with his right eye swelling shut. But he'd been hurt before, laughed at before, told he was nothing before. So there was something else eating at him. The man threw a corner of his cloak over the youth's shoulders. He's shivering, and probably hungry. Resolute nodded. Come on, boy, let's go. Will limped along a few steps, letting the cloak slip off him, then stopped. The Vorquelf paused and looked back at him. You can walk along with us, or I will march you along, boy. Your choice. Will's nostrils flared. My name is Will. I'm Resolute. This is Crow. Now move. The youth frowned. One thing. And that is? Will reached out a trembling hand. Let me carry the leaf. Vorquelf's head came up. You think I'm going to trust it to a thief? Crow laid a hand on Resolute's shoulder. He did get it. He can't run off. Resolute's eyes became crescent slivers of silver. You lose this, boy, and you'll wish Predator hadn't been stopped. The youth raised his chin and snorted. Predator could never have made me give it up. I won't lose it. Resolute knotted the bag securely, then handed it to Will. Come on, then. Grinning like a fool, Will held it in both his hands. The leaf is shining, glowing bright. In my caring, clung too tight. The man's head came up, a hint of a smile gracing his lips. Let's go, Will. The man let Will get in front of him, but the youth really didn't feel Crow was there to stop him from running. He chuckled to himself, knowing he'd bolt at the first opportunity, but the throbbing in his knee told him that opportunity would be a little while in coming. Besides, the man had mentioned food, and going back to Marcus all wet and hurt and without anything to show for it would just get his other eye blacked. Might as well have a full belly. The warmth from the bag spread into his hands, and Will started thinking on what Resolute had said. It seemed to him that the desire to be the King of Dimmen Downs had been a worthy goal, but that had been before he saw the leaf and touched it. And then, when Resolute had taken the leaf from him, he was left all hollow inside. He knew then that he'd been meant to steal the leaf. For what purpose, he had no idea, but he sensed there was one, and that purpose his mind to fulfill. These thoughts occupied him as Resolute led the way through the downs to an inn that didn't look nearly as decrepit as the other Vork haunts. Will seemed to remember having been in that place once before and having been chased away with a brown bucket of floor sloppings dumped over him. As they entered the common room, Will saw the emerald-eyed bartender scowl at him, but the Vorquelf's expression eased into something shy of a smile as Crow closed the door behind them. Crow pulled his cloak off and hung it on a peg. His white hair had been gathered back into a thick braid that was knotted with a leather cord from which dangled a rainbow of feathers. His beard ran along his jaw and flushed full at his chin and mustaches, but left visible an old scar on his right cheek. Above it, another scar ran up into his hair. The brown of his buckskin clothes ran lighter than the color of his eyes, save where the rain had soaked his shoulders and wrists. The sword he wore had a brass hilt and leather bindings, and a big angular pommel. Daggers rode at his right hip, in his left boot top, and if Will wasn't missing anything, in his sheath on his right forearm up his sleeve. Will couldn't begin to guess his age. The man looked ancient, must be at least 40. But a fair bit of life still burned in his eyes. Crow's feet crinkled the corner of those eyes. Nicks and cuts had scarred his cheek, nose, brows, and ears, but he didn't seem the sort of man to be wasting away, drinking off scar tails in some dim squalor squat. The way he moved through the streets and the power with which he hit Predator suggested to Will that the man wasn't as old as he first appeared. There was no doubting at all that he'd seen a lot of life, and Will figured the man was more than content to let his coloration disguise him. Plenty of folks would look at him and dismiss him for being old, but Will determined that wasn't a mistake he'd make. A shiver shook Will then, and it wasn't from the cold. Conversation, which had been in Elvish and unintelligible to him, save for an odd curse or two, had died. He turned away from Crow and saw 24 Vorquels staring at the man with expressions that ranged from friendly to respectful. Not a few were tinged with fear. Whispers started, but Will caught little of them, save for a name. Cadence Crow. The youth turned back and looked at Crow again. You're Cadence Crow? Crow fits better, Will. Resolute laughed. He's more afraid of you than he was of Predator. Will shook his head, lashing his face with wet strands of hair. Not afraid. He shivered again. Really? Crow smiled and guided Will toward a table, which Vorquels quickly vacated. Sit down and we'll get you something warm to eat. Yes. Will sat, still clutching the bag to his chest. And sir, thank you, sir. His hasty comment sparked laughter from the Vorks, who went back to their drinking and eating. Will ignored them and stared after the broad-shouldered man speaking Elvish with the bartender. Cadence Crow. If there were a more famous man, aside from King Augustus, of course, Will didn't know of him. Minstrels in the dim sung of his exploits, of his traveling north to the frozen plains of Orolan, killing Horgun and Temerises. Those feathers, they have to be from some of the frost claws. Cadence Crow didn't seek fame for himself, but was known from when he and his companions, I know who the Vork he runs with is now, saved a Geronese caravan from marauders, or showed up in a snowbound Morosan village and fought off Orolani raiders, or the one Will liked best, talked about Cadence Crow hunting through the Ghost March, killing off a Vilaine general that Catrine was using to lead an army down into Okronal. Will wasn't certain where any of those places were, save for being far away, but he'd reveled in hearing those adventures. Crow returned to the table and set a wooden bowl full of steaming stew in front of Will. Beside it, he placed an earthenware mug, from which steam likewise rose. Eat slowly. Will nodded and tucked the bag inside his tunic, and grabbed the wooden spoon and stuck it into the stew and shoveled up a mouthful. The stew tasted okay, though the cook clearly didn't know what he was doing because it was way too thick to be proper stew. The food's warmth started to seep out of his belly and into the rest of him. He grabbed the mug in both hands and gulped down a big swallow of the mulled wine, and sat back and burped. Crow raised an eyebrow. Slowly, Will. No one's going to take it away from you. Will nodded, not sure if Crow was talking about the food or the leaf. About the time Will realized he'd sooner give up the food than the leaf, Resolute came to the table. He brought with him 2 mugs of ale, one of which he handed to Crow. In his wake trailed another Vorquelf. This Vorquelf brought a smile to Will's face. Even though his eyes were a solid blue, he dressed as if he were a real elf. Red hair hung in 2 braids at his temples, and was long elsewhere in the current elven fashion. His clothes had been cut along the lines of those worn by dandies in Hightown. Will couldn't see a scar or tattoo on him, and his straight nose had clearly never collided with a fist or a shutter. The Vorquelf remained slender and didn't have a speck of dirt on his clothes or under his fingernails. And the rings on his slender fingers. Will knew he could have them off in the blink of an eye, and could even nick the gold coins in the pouch at his belt, for gold weighed much more than silver and made itself apparent to the trained eye. This is the boy. Resolute grunted. No getting anything past you, is there, Amends? And no, he's not a boy, he's almost a man. Small for a man yet. Crow laid a hand on Will's arm. Do you know how old you are? Will shook his head. Fire took my mother, they tell me. Aunt's kept me until I ran away. Been in the dim since then. Around. Resolute rapped a fist sharply on the table. Your age, boy, not your life story. Will jumped, then frowned. 15 years, maybe more, not much. I'm just small. The clean, red-haired Vorquelf narrowed his eyes. Are you sure this is the one? He doesn't look it. Of course he doesn't, with his face swelling like that. Predator hit him. Amends snarled. He'll pay for that. He already did. Amends nodded, then pointed deeper into the common room. Charity, fix the boy's face. Will turned around as a chair scraped against the wooden floor. A slender elf, not much taller than himself, a mere slip of a girl with golden hair and full sea-green eyes, got out of her chair and approached him timidly. She met his glance for a second, then seemed to look away. No black dot to their eyes. Not easy to tell where she's looking. Still, she came to him and stroked the right side of his face with her left hand. couldn't see what she was doing, given how that eye had almost swelled shut, but he could feel it. His flesh tingled in the wake of her caress. Heat leaped from her hand into his face, and he began to smile. He noticed it didn't hurt his cheek to do so. And then his right eye opened. He looked up and saw a trace of pain pass over her features. "What? I didn't do it. What's wrong?" She shook her head. "Nothing." Crow squeezed his right forearm. "She used magic to heal you. It's not without a cost. She took the pain of your healing on herself." Will blinked. "But why?" Charity smiled at him. "For what you will do, in thanks." "What I will do?" He frowned and looked at Crow. "What does she mean?" The man shook his head. "It's too soon to worry about that, Will. Just get yourself outside of that stew, and we'll see if we can have the lend of a bed." "Thank you, Charity." Will stared after her as she walked away. "Not going to have her do my leg?" "And have you able to run?" Resolute laughed mirthlessly. "You'll be fine to sit a saddle tomorrow." A man's head came up. "You're not leaving tonight?" Resolute studied his mug of ale. "Done enough for one evening." "But this is important. If you don't get him there..." Crow raised a hand to stop the discussion. "Good Amens, forgive us. Resolute would prefer not to insult me, but these old bones need sleep before I can head out." The red-headed Roquel flushed from his throat to the tips of his pointed ears. "Forgive me, Cadence Crow. I meant no offense, it's just..." "Don't worry yourself, Amens." Crow chuckled lightly. "I vowed to see the liberation of Vorquellen in my lifetime. You should rejoice that my age means the event is going to be sooner rather than later." "The people will let us be about our duty." Resolute shook his head quickly, spraying a little water from the strip of right hair running from his forehead to the nape of his neck. "Now leave us alone or make yourself useful by ordering up road bread and dry meat for us." Amends nodded slowly. "Of course, of course. You'll be leaving when? Dawn? Noon?" Crow shrugged. "Dawn if the rain breaks, noon if it doesn't. No one wants to ride in the cold wet too long." "Of course not, no." Amends tapped his finger against his lips. "Reason, sagacity. Run up some supplies for them and see if you can find clothes for the manling." Two other Vorquels left their tables, pulling on oilskin cloaks, and vanished into the night. It surprised Will that they moved so quickly to Amends' orders, since he didn't look nearly strong enough to be their leader. As much as Will didn't like Predator, he figured Predator would have been able to whip Amends easily. That was the way of things in the dim, after all. The strong ruled. Predator would have been on top until someone like Resolute decided to topple him. Marcus had been supreme until the Azure Spider went on to greater glory. After that, even Scabby Jack and Garrow challenged him. "He's got nothing, except for me, that is." Amends stared down at Will again, his face closing up. "I pray he is the one. Godspeed you on your journey. Good luck to you, William." Will looked up at him from his bowl, the dripping spoon halfway to his mouth. "I'm not William." He glanced from side to side, reading shock on all three faces. "I'm just Will." Resolute set his mug down and cocked an eyebrow at the boy. "Will? Nothing more?" "Why are you blushing, boy?" "No reason." Will frowned and looked back into his nearly empty bowl. I'm Will." "You're certainly stubborn, Will." Crow's voice came easily, lightly, with a touch of friendliness to it. "You've forgotten, I think, what Resolute and I saved you from. You've forgotten what Resolute has trusted you with. You'll trust us with your name, won't you?" Will lowered his spoon to the bowl again. "You'll laugh." The man shook his head. "No, not at all." Will snarled and pointed his spoon at Resolute. "He will. Better me laughing, boy, than having me get it out of you my way." That sent a shiver down Will's spine. Just this once. His eyes narrowed, and he waved the spoon back and forth like a dagger. "My name is Wilberforce." Resolute and Crow gave no sign of their reaction to his name, but Amends exhaled loudly. "Oh, yes. Yes, perfect. Thus ends one debate." Will frowned at Crow. "There's a lot here you're not telling me." "There will be time on the road to answer your questions." Will licked the spoon off and brandished it again. "On the road to where?" Resolute snorted. "Does it matter to you? It's away from here." "Maybe I don't want to go." "It's not like you have a choice." The large Vorquel smiled carefully, wrapping one massive hand over a scarred fist. "You're going, Wilberforce." Crow waved away Resolute's statement. "Think of it as an adventure, Will. Who among your friends has been to the mountains? We'll go there, see a friend, then you can come back here if you wish." "I don't know." Will tried to keep his face impassive, but his voice rose a bit at the end, and a nervous smile tugged at the corner of his mouth. He wiped a sleeve over it to hide it. No one he'd known had been out of the environs of Yuzlin, save maybe Marcus, and Marcus had never been to the mountains. A fitting first adventure for Will the Nimble. I'll get to ride a horse. Several. Will nodded and scraped at the bowl with his spoon. He recalled well the tales of children snatched from the streets never to be heard again. But the wariness engendered by those tales faded. The kindness in Crow's voice, the insistence in Resolute's, and the warmth of the bag pressed against his ribs, those three things in no way suggested he'd be safe on the trip, but they did tell him he had nothing to fear from his traveling companions. Besides, the little hint that there might be danger, and he'd picked that up from a dozen things, not the least of which was Resolute's not telling Ammons about the leaf, sent a thrill through him. He'd grown up in the toughest part of Yuzlin. There was nothing in the wilderness he was going to fear. Okay, Will said. To the mountains we'll go.
Fortress Draconis is copyright 2001 by Michael A. Stackpole and is read by the author. To learn more about him and his work, please visit his website at www.stormwolf.com. This book is available from fine booksellers worldwide. This podcast was produced by Jamie Jordan and is hosted by CatAlley.com. The theme music is an original composition by Nuada and is used with permission. The podcast is copyright 2007 by Michael A. Stackpole. Please join us again for the next exciting chapter of Fortress Draconis.